Okay, as you have noticed, today's church service is brought to you by the men of the Corps. I think they have done a good job, as well as Linda and Vanessa as well, coming up and helping with the music. So let's give everybody, give them all a clap. Okay, you've got the PowerPoint. Thanks, Simon. So since the men are doing the service, I thought it would be fitting to share about men's stuff and what the Bible thinks of man, or more to the point, what does the Bible say about the traits of being a godly man? We all know throughout the Bible, God teaches, tells, and guides us on how to be a godly man. Here are a few Bible verses on being a man. I invite those with their slips, now Michael's already done his first one, I invite those to come up and to read those slips of the Bible verses. And Genesis, that was the one that Michael read. The second one, Deuteronomy. Yep, that's right.
Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dread often, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
Thanks, Arvin. Hey, 1 Peter, I think it is, the next one. Thanks, Alvin. There we go. Jim?
Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, both yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Ephesians chapter 6. Thanks, Leanne. Okay, the last one, I think it was Timothy 6:11.
All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be confident and fit for every good work.
Thanks, Adam. And Tom, last one.
Yep. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness and gentleness.
Thanks, guys. Excellent. Now, as you can see, the verses, these verses in the Bible tells us how to man up, in a biblical sense. Now, when Vanessa asked if the men could do the service today, which was more of a reminder for me, I thought, what kind of message could we do for men, about men, and of course for the ladies as well? Now, what came to me in helping me with this was the book Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. Now, I'm just going to get it because I've just got it at the on my seat. Here we go. Here we have it here. John Eldridge. Who's seen this book before?
Read it.
Some of you? Yep. Okay. A few years ago, now, the men's group participated in this book study. Arvin, you remember? Yep. Can? Cool. The book is about discovering the secret of a man's soul. Of course, in a Christian context, the book is broken down into 8 parts, focusing on essentially how to be a godly man in today's world. John uses interests, pursuits, and adventures that appeal to men. Men, what's something that appeals to you? What are some of your pursuits or hobbies or interests? Adam? Hunting and fishing. There's a lot of that in here. Yep. Anyone else? Jim?
Caravanning.
Yep. Cool. Yep. Anybody else?
Football.
Footy? Footy. Outside doing things, yeah. Yep. Yeah. For me, it would be going outside doing things.
Going out bush.
Yeah. Anyone else? No? All right. Now, there was one other thing that's in this book, and it is he uses the use of movies. Okay? What interested me was the use of movies. As myself, I am a movie buff, especially the epics. Now, I'm going to put another question to you. Who likes movies? Quite a few. Okay. Would anybody like to share their favourite movie that they like to watch? The Green Mile, yeah. Yeah, yep. Which one was this, sorry?
Les Mis,
yeah, yep, cool, yeah.
Oh, I reckon the first classic of all,
Star Wars.
1 to 6.
Yeah, 1 to 6. No, not 1 to 6. Adam? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes, okay, good old Avengers. You get into the old movies, Linda? Not really, no. Blade Runner, good old sci-fi flick, yeah, yep. Leanne? Up, yeah, yep. Braveheart, good old Braveheart, yes, yeah. Matt, what about you, mate? Okay, Aliens, yep, in the vein of Blade Runner, yes, sci-fi. Yep, Paula?
Just like a lot of movies,
yeah. They're not science fiction. Well, what about fantasy? No, okay, well, I'm sorry, because what's coming up in a minute? All right. I thought it would be cool to use a scene or two to convey a message. So today, I'm going to. But before we kick off, I would like you to read the introduction to John's facilitating guide to this book study, okay, about men. Sometime, do I need this?
Yes.
I do, okay. Sometime around the evening of May 31st, 1944, small satchels were handed out to the officers of the US Army, First Army, and the British Second Army, whose combined forces would soon assault the beaches on Normandy. These were field officers, the men who would actually lead the greatest invasion of the world has ever known. On the outside, they were ordinary men, in world standards, farmers from Iowa, mechanics from New York, grocery store clerks from Cheshire. To these men were given the long-developed top-secret plans for the invasion and detailed maps of the coast of Normandy. Once the invasion began, the outcome of the war passed from the hands of the generals to the hands of these brave men. And as you remember, they performed beautifully. Years later, one army ranger returned to the beaches with a sense of awe and wonder. "Will somebody tell me how we did this?" he asked. They did it, of course, by the grace of God. That's the whole story of the Bible, isn't it? Remarkable events accomplished by seemingly ordinary people. An aging man with a speech problem, and then wanted for murder, leads to the Exodus. A little shepherd boy brings down a giant with a slingshot. A disenfranchised Pharisee takes the gospel to the world. It helps me to remember that when I find myself swept up into a work of God. I'm not being dramatic when I say that the guide you're holding at least equals, if not outweighs, the significance of the D-Day satchels. For the invasion was now involved and serves as a greater king against an even greater foe, for even a greater cause, to rescue men, to serve, then restored by Christ and released for God's kingdom in the most desperate of this hour. Okay, that's a little bit on the introduction of Wild at Heart. John talks about officers who were ordinary men by worldly standards in World War II, defying great odds to help the war, and he relates them to biblical heroes, by all accounts, ordinary men, Moses, David and Paul. The list goes on. Today, I would like to focus on one of these ordinary men, Timothy, and on how God used him to further his kingdom in the face of great adversity. Here, though, is a clip of Lord of the Rings. Who's read the book or seen the movies Lord of the Rings? A few people? Yep. Okay, it's a fantasy, okay, and spears and swords and so on. All right? It's one of my favourite. Leanne and I would watch the whole series start from finish. And, yeah, it would take hours and hours and hours. But this part I really love. And the commentary at the end, where I've got this YouTube clip, you've got the little scroll of comments. And people will say it puts goosebumps on the back of your neck. And it still does for me for this. So I know it's a bit juvenile. But anyway, let's watch.
Fight! Right through in! And the wild!
Okay. So a little bit of background on that. What you said. Now, that clip, as I said, was from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. It's the last one. Okay, it's the climactic scene at the end. It's about King Theoden. He gives a speech to his troops as they charge into battle against the forces of evil, Mordor. Now, Theoden was a king of the kingdom of Rohan, a kingdom in disarray, and himself has fallen short of past glories. The destruction of man is imminent, and he and his brave riders of Rohan are to make one last stand. And after Theoden refines his faith in who he is, his courage and steadfastness, and what he is charged to do is face huge adversary and to save the realm of man, he finally succeeds. Now turning to Timothy, unlike King Theoden, Timothy never lost his faith. He never wavered. He was steadfast and had courage in the face of great adversity. Yet, through Paul's letters to Timothy, some say he was weak, meek and timid. This thinking was far from the truth. Timothy encountered persecution. He faced it, and he weathered it well. Timothy kept company behind bars with Paul more than once. He nearly died. He was a faithful courier for Paul. He served the church of Ephesus in Asia Minor, where members were predominantly Gentile. We can learn much from the young evangelist, Timothy. A Greek to Gentiles, a Jew to Jews. As a young companion to Paul, the two travelled through Asia in strengthening the church in faith, and in short period of time, he was not only a companion to Paul, but also a pastor. Paul had such a high regard for Timothy. He saw him as his spiritual son. Years later, Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to the Philippian Christians, stating that he hoped Timothy would come and join them, as it reads in Philippians 2:19-24. Which is up there. Thanks, Arlen. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Later on, when Paul moved on to Macedonia, he left Timothy in Ephesus to take care of the church by teaching the doctrine and to encourage the church in keeping the faith and instructing not to listen lies and false teachings. At the time of Paul writing his letter to Timothy, there were a number of trends developing in the church. They were well developed at this time. Attitudes of only the special few with knowledge would be saved. Idealism, the teaching that matter was evil, and the fascination of myths and genealogies. These themes ran counter to 1, the salvation based not on faith, not on knowledge. 2, the goodness of God's creation and Christ's incarnation. 3, sufficiency of the biblical story. There are many other trials and situations that the early church faced that Timothy was charged to help overcome. And he did this with godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, as it is found in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 to 16. Now, Timothy was to do all this in an environment of persecution and the threats of death. Naturally, there would have been times of hesitation for Timothy, but he showed a steadfast in faith in Jesus Christ and carried out his duties. Once again, we see God using who in the world may look weak or not strong enough to lead, but Timothy relied on God for his strength. Timothy's faith in God made him strong. I like the verse in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29, and it reads, God can use human beings who know they are weak, When someone knows he is nothing to speak of physically, who knows he can't save himself, God can teach and lead that person to serve him and mankind. Such a person knows the credits belongs to God and not himself. I think this sums up who Timothy was, a man with unbreakable faith in Jesus Christ. His faith is he brought God's truth to the Gentiles and Jews in an inspiring way. So what does this mean for us, men? Well, all of us. How do we fight the good fight? Are there the trials that afflicted the church in present day? Afflicted the early church in present day's church? Maybe. Maybe they are different trials. Maybe in our own family, in the workplace or at school. The solution, though, is overcoming these are the same as what Paul, overcoming them, as Paul wrote, overcoming in godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. We also need to recognise that we are weak, broken, and we are a sinner. But through God's grace and acceptance of his grace, we can achieve great works to glorify his kingdom. Whether there be trials, are there trials? Do things go pear-shaped? Yes, they do. We are lucky, though, in this country where we are not persecuted for our faith. However, we go through trials that test our faith or things that are not just going right. As the next song plays, I would invite you to take a minute to reflect on the situations or maybe asking God for guidance on what to do with a situation that you may be encountering. Light the band come up, is that okay?